Talk about love. Amen? Love. We're going to talk about love because everybody says the word love, but they don't understand the depth of love, because love is simply giving. It's not taking. It's not asking. And I think that it'll open a lot of hearts and bring people closer together as we talk about love. Amen? Because the Bible says love never fails. How many know that? You know, it says love never fails. We want to be sure to talk about that in God. Hallelujah. Psalm 369 in your hymnal. My wife and I will sing for you this morning. Can you surrender all to God today? Can you surrender your thoughts to God? Can you lean not on any own understanding today? Can you say, Lord, today I want more of you. Today I am done making my mistakes. I want you to help me. I want you to lead me. I want you to direct my path, Lord. I know you're not going to change me because you know who I am. But I need you to direct and lead me, Lord. Today I surrender all. Can you do that this morning in his house? Can you? It's between you and God. Surrendering all means to take your doubt, bring it up here and put it at the altar. To take your uncertainty, bring it up here and put it at the altar. Say that God can't, if you think that God can't do anything, bring it up here. Surrender your understanding to God, amen? And he will lead you. He will not change you. How many know that? He does not want to change you. He wants to lift you up. Humble yourself to him and say, Lord, I need you more today than I needed you yesterday. Thank you for getting me through yesterday. I need you now, Lord, to help me. Lift me up. Lift up my doubts and my fears and my trials. And Lord, help me. Do that this morning and your life will change even before you walk out that door. Amen? Hallelujah. Good. It was so peaceful. I know one of these Sundays you're going to have one of the minor things where the Beethoven thing or the... Yeah, that's coming through. Coming soon to a theater near you, amen? Good morning, everybody. Let's stand up and pray together. No, I think that's wonderful, too. We look forward to that. Maybe we might just have you do one of those as a, what's the song in the afternoon? The anthem. Have you play one of them for an anthem. Yeah. You think you're just going to play one song and that's it, your day's over? No. I want joy in church, amen. How many want joy in church? George and Elaine, I'm so glad you're here. I was praying that you would see. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. How many believe that? Then give him praise. Come on. He will stop you. When you're praying to God and you trust God, he will stop you from doing the wrong things. He will save you from sinning. He will stop you. He will not sometimes allow you. I don't know if you've ever had that experience in your life, but he will stop you at the door and save you from that. He's that kind of God. He loves you. He's walking with you, and he will close doors that he does not want you to walk through if you're listening to his voice. Amen? If you're letting him lead you. That's the God that you love. Amen? He's a great God. He's a good God. He's not an angry God. He loves his people. His son died on the cross. Amen? You think he gave up his son? His son died on the cross. You think he's not going to bless you? You think he's going to stop giving and stop leading you? That was done for who? For you. For us. Hallelujah. If he's done that for us, he's not going to stop at anything to keep you down. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's read together. Sorry, honey, I got carried away. This psalm, David, not that David. This is the psalm, this is the song that David wrote on his knees to God after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, after their son had died, their baby, little baby had died. This is the psalm. This is where David is on his knees pouring his heart out, pouring his tears out to God. And in this same psalm, and you remember this, on his knees asking God for forgiveness, saying, Lord, he says, I sinned against you. I didn't sin against man. And right in the middle of this psalm, I don't know if we go all the way far, he's asking God to bless him. You see what I'm saying? He's got so much confidence in his God that as he gets on his knees and he's cried and he's repented from that sin, in the middle of this prayer of repentance, he's asking God to re-bless him again. That's what you need. That's the God you serve. Amen. How many fall short daily? Hallelujah. There's nothing you have done that he hasn't seen. And he says, I forgive all your trespasses. Amen. How many? We need to tell other people, because there's people still in bondage for something they did 30 years ago, Miss Pat. They're Christians. They go to church, but they feel in bondage for something. And God said, why'd you carry that? And this psalm is so powerful. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your love kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
He's asking. Now he says, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge.
Then he says, but see, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me.
Behold, you desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom.
Then he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may be joy.
Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Psalm 51, you ought to go home and read the rest of it. It's just so powerful, where he asked God for blessing. The same prayer where he's asked God for forgiveness. He's asking God for blessing. That's a blueprint for who? You. Amen? That's your God. How many want things from God? How many are waiting for things from God? How many believe? Are you really? You got to walk the walk. Amen? You got to walk it and say, I claim it. How many have dreams for tomorrow? Have you given it to him? Are you doing your part so when he answers you, you're excited and you get to you? You got to do your part. Amen? You got to get it ready. You got to get the house ready for God when he answers that prayer. You got to do it. He's waiting for you to take steps so he can answer your prayer. Amen? When God has answered a prayer in your life and you know that he's answered it, you will never stop praying again. Amen? Never. And that is your God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Two things, testimonies. One thing happened in the news this week, and I don't know why it touched me. It broke my heart. I don't know why, except to tell you that there's a man, 25 years old, I believe he is. He committed a murder. He may have committed more. And he was found guilty, and they sent him to jail for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life. But this wasn't any guy, some guy down the street, somebody who just did nothing with his life. This was a man who lived in a mansion. He lived in a mansion. He just signed a contract to play a sport for $23 million more dollars than the millions of dollars that he made. He was a Super Bowl champion. A Super Bowl champion. And now he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail for murder because he couldn't let go of the things of the past. Amen? I'm just telling you that sin and the devil has a way to get to you whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Amen? And when I read this one about this fella, I don't know why it touched me as much. And I told my wife, I said, I'm praying for this guy. Because he had everything in life he would ever want. He had more money than he could ever spend in his life. He had a beautiful home. He had the best automobiles in his driveway. He had people who loved him, who adored him. He had people that wore his jersey because they idolized him. Yet he couldn't get past the things behind. He couldn't get past the drugs and the anger and the things in his life that he tried to walk away from. And I'm just trying to tell you that sin and the devil knows where to attack you, knows that you've got to let go. You've got to let go of the past in a way that you never want to look back. Are you with me? This man had it all. Had it all. And now he has nothing. My Lord and Savior, your God will save him if he gets on his knees in that prison sometime in his life and say, Lord, forgive me. We might see him in heaven. Amen? And don't be surprised, because he can repent. But the price that he's going to pay for his for what he did here is the rest of his life in a cell. And I just, that's the power of Satan. When you think that you can get away from Satan, when you think you're smarter or you're on the right path, I tell you to stop right there, humble yourself, and tell God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, that I could do this. I'm sorry that I didn't need you, Lord. Because when you start saying that, you need him even more. Amen? Because the devil's saying, oh, he's pretty sure of himself now. Now he's got this confidence. Now he's walking. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I stand it every day. I pray every day that whatever I tell you on Sunday is something that you can carry and get closer to God. Amen? Are you with me? I love you more than I could have ever understood what love meant, because of the position that I just love God. And it goes to the second part. Another thing that broke my heart this week. We had the most, you all were here last week for the baby dedication? Wasn't it the most wonderful afternoon with all the people up here handing the baby? And there were people who would not come to this church because it was not their church. The parents would not show up. They wouldn't come because it wasn't their building. Amen. That's why I read from Luke last week when the disciples said, we saw somebody casting out demons in your name and we didn't know who they were and we forbade them. And then people said to me, well, did you use water? I said, no, we didn't. We didn't baptize the baby. We dedicated the baby to Jesus. Amen. And I stood there and I said, I love Jesus with all my heart and soul. That's what the Bible says to do. I lean on him. I trust him. I fall short. And when I fall short, I need God even more. But I preach the Bible. I preach what's in here. So I said to the people, show me. Show me in here where you have to baptize a baby and cleanse him of the sin. So and let me tell you something, and I'm excited, but I'm just stay with me, right? You know that I'm a fanatic about Jesus, amen? Hallelujah. I study this Bible all week long. I read things, I go back, I read the old, I follow up, I go on the computer, I look things up, and I said, Lord, I just can't be wrong. I don't mean that I can't be wrong. I said, Lord, I please don't let me be wrong with what I'm teaching. I can't teach them the wrong thing. So I looked it up on the computer, and I looked up. I said, why would they say that an infant needs to be baptized? So I looked it up to see what they believe, and they said because you have to be cleansed from your original sin. And so the baptism with the water cleanses from the original sin. But I said, it doesn't say that here. Jesus says you need to be born again. What does again mean? Again, the second time. And so I started reading. And it says, for the remission of sin, both original and actual. That's what it says. And then I started reading this. A reading from another doctrine. I want to get it right. Because it was the early doctrine of that church. The early doctrine. And they had one argument. One. When the early people got together, and we have a committee. Hey, y'all guys got a committee meeting today? We got a committee. They had a committee, the early church, Deacon Chuck, they had a committee. You know the one thing they could never put their finger on, black and white, what was the problem? How old should somebody be before they were baptized? That was the thing that went on from that generation to this generation. Amen? How old? They never decided. They said, well, Cornelius' family, it said in the book of Acts, his whole family was saved and they were all baptized. But it never says how old the children were. Amen? So I said, well, that doesn't help me. Amen? We dedicated that baby to who? To God. And what was the dedication? That those that were with her would direct her path. Amen? That they would teach her to who? To teach her to who? To God. That they would show her the way to where? To God. That they would walk with her. That they would take her to church. That they would pray with her in the morning. I read that from right there from the beginning of the Bible. Right there from Deuteronomy. That they would pray with her and teach her. And it just broke my heart that I love Jesus so much, and somebody could look here and say, this church is not about Jesus Christ. We've got to protect that. Amen? We've got to walk in a way that we rise above what people think. I study this Bible hours a week, and I love it. I'm not telling you it's a job. I love it. It's a labor of love. Deacon Gary, it's a labor of love. I can't learn enough, and I will never know everything. I won't even know a tenth of everything. But what I study and what I preach and what's in my heart, what makes sense to me, is what we do here at this church, amen? And I know that everybody's accepting it. And I just wanted to share that with you because it made my spirit sad to think that somebody else who claims that they love Jesus wouldn't come here because it wasn't their group. And I figured, well, you didn't use water. I said, where does it say that? Show me here. Don't show me in another book. Show me in this book. Amen? So I just wanted to share. I thought last week was one of the most wonderful Sundays we have had here at this church with that baby and that dedication and the love. And those people are going to come back. I know they're coming back. Amen? Are you with me? The whole families might not come back, but they're coming. Yeah, one of them was on the phone with my wife until about 10:30 that night asking questions, saying, we want to come. We just bought a house in Beacon Falls. We want to come. I believe they're going to come. Their great-grandmother came up to me, and she said, what church does she go to? She had to tell me that first. And then she said it was just the most beautiful service and the most beautiful dedication, and that we lifted up Aubrey Rose, amen? And that's what we're going to do in this church, brothers and sisters. We're going to focus on this, amen? We're going to focus on God's word. We're going to change your understanding to God's understanding. Are you with me? Let's all rise above, amen? Let's lift this Bible up to do what it says to do. Let's pray together. Lord, these testimonies are about you. You change our lives. You lead our path. This word is all we need. How much we choose to read it is up to us. How much we choose to understand is up to us. How deep we want to get into it is up to us. But as we get into this word, and we get into the Proverbs, and we get into John, and we get into Matthew, and we see what Paul went through, and we see what David wrote in that psalm about forgiveness, about love, about sharing, about giving, all about you. There's not one building in this book that has a name. Revelation talks about the churches in Philadelphia and talks about churches in other areas of Samaria, but it just talks about what they did, the things that they didn't do. It did not talk about a church. It talks about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The way into heaven through the gate is with him. It was Jesus himself that lifted up the little babies. When the disciples said, don't let them, he said, don't ever stop them, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, because their love right then is unconditional. Their love, it just surpasses ours, because they have that childlike love. Childlike love. We love you, Lord, and I just pray that the things that we teach here are correct. That we get stronger in you, not worrying about what other people say and think, Lord, but learning, because knowledge is the key. Knowledge is the key to bring more people to you. Telling others about you is how we bring more people to you. Showing other people what Jesus has done in our life, Father, brings more people to you, fills this church up with people who are hungry for you. Not for a club, not for a group, but for you. Coming together as a family. We've seen it in this church. We see it, Lord, and we claim it. We want it. We want this ground to be fertile for you. Not with more laws and regulations, but with you, with love. Because with love, everything will grow. With the seed of love, everything will grow. And people will come together. Does that mean we won't disagree? Absolutely not. But we disagree all the time. We still have opinions. We're still entitled to our opinions. Just because we're in a church and we go out of church on a Sunday, we still have our opinions, and they may differ, and that's where the joy comes in, talking to people about it. But when it comes right down to it, love will oversee that disagreement. We'll say, okay, I don't agree with you, but I still love you, so let's have some good time. Okay, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with this, but you know, I still love Jesus, and I still love you, and I still love our church, and we need to grow as and we need to let the world know that we are not cloned together. That we love each other because Jesus first loved us, and that we love each other because that is the one thing that never fails. So in our disagreements, we just smile and say, well, you might be right, I might be right, but what does it matter? Because what matters is eternity with the Lord and our families who we've lost and we want to be with. This God, simply the God of this book, who loves everybody and just yearns for everybody to accept him as we do. In Jesus' name. That's it. The Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. Have you heard me say that recently? Does that move you? It moves me. He inhabits the praise of his people. So I look around and I see angels that are sitting there that we not see. But the Bible says he inhabits it, so he brings his angels with him. Amen? We ask the Holy Spirit to come in into this truth. We know the Holy Spirit is indwelled in us who love Jesus. But we ask the Holy Spirit to fill the room with love and with peace. Amen? And let me just say one more thing. For those people who want to do the other way, who want to baptize, that's to them. Amen? Is it wrong? No, of course not. They're doing it unto God with their belief. Amen? I'm just saying that they said that I want to be right here. That's all. But if other people do it a different way, it's not on me at all. Amen? And we celebrate that. Amen? I celebrate it. You celebrate it. We love one another. We accept other people. The Bible said not to fight with other people, but to accept. We don't have to agree with them. We don't have to do it that way, but we just have to say, okay, that's what you do. That's how you do it. And God bless you. Amen? That's the difference. We don't judge what they do. I just had to say, it was on my heart because I felt like I love Jesus so much and I love this word so much that I want you to understand why we did what we did the way we did it last week. To me, it was such a beautiful, beautiful celebration. Are you with me? Okay, I need one more praise for God. Come on, let it out. Thank you. You guys are good to me. Thank you. All right. This is nice. Sit back and relax. You'll enjoy it. I've enjoyed this one. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Eye has not seen, amen, eye has not, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The heart. Your heart. What is your heart? Your desires. Amen. Your dreams. Your most beautiful thoughts. The beauty. Amen. That's your heart. That's your heart's desire. Amen. You got, how many got a heart's desire? You got one? You really? Are you working towards it? Are you? Because the Bible says it is so much more than your heart's desire. It said you can't comprehend. So eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Why did he say heart? Because that's where your desires are. Amen. The beauty of God. The beauty of God. The beauty of where God is going to bring us after this life. Amen. But before we get there, the beauty of what God is going to do on earth as it is in where? Hallelujah. As it in where? Hallelujah. Jesus asked Nicodemus and us, Jesus is asking us this question. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Think about that. If God is saying, I am with you today, Miss Pat. I will answer your prayer. I will guide you. I will comfort you, George Mako. If you don't believe earthly things, I have a plan for you. I have a guidance for you. I have a job for you if you need a job. I have a mate for you if you will wait with me and let me bring you the right mate. Amen. If you will believe that. But if you don't believe that, if you have doubts in your mind, if you have worry in your mind, amen, he's saying if you don't believe those things, how are you going to believe the heavenly things that I want to share with you? How many know what eternity is going to be like? You know why you don't know exactly? Because this book spends very, very little time explaining what eternity is going to be like. How beautiful it's going to be. How wonderful it's going to be. How peaceful it's going to be. You know why it doesn't? Because you won't understand it. You won't accept it. Amen? If Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, who was a preacher, who knew the Bible, said, if you don't believe the things that I'm telling you here on earth, the way that I want to guide you and change your heart and take the anger away, How are you going to believe the beauty that is awaiting you that's beyond your comprehension? Because you haven't seen how beautiful it is. Your dream, Fred, whatever your dream is, whatever your goal is today, he's got a greater one for you. Amen? You got to claim it. You got to go out and take it. You can't wait for it to come to you. Amen? When you start walking with God, there are no more disappointments. When you get something and it doesn't work out your way, you say, okay, God, that's not where you want me. Let's go another direction. But there's no disappointment. Amen? I got a book at home, and I think it should be, I'm telling you the truth, and you're going to laugh at me, but I'm going to tell you why. I think it should be worth a reading. Everybody should read this book. It's a book by Mariano Rivera, Jackie, the pitcher for the Yankees. It's called The Closer. I don't know if anybody know about him, but he wants to be a pastor. He loved God since he was a little boy. And this entire book, the entire book that he writes about losing the World Series, losing games, having guys get hurt, every other page it talks about his faith in God, how God got him through, how scared he was on the pitching mound when he got there. But he turns around and he says a prayer, says, Lord, don't let my players get hurt. Don't let me get hurt. Let me just represent you. Not, Lord, let me win. Lord, make me win. It was never make me win. But with every disappointment, he stood up and said, God has a plan. God is with me. I can't be afraid of this. Every injury he had, he said, you know, God, you've got me to this point. Why am I even worried about being afraid? And all these things that Mariano wrote in this book, and I'm saying, this book is a must read for anybody. Anybody with depression, this is a book for that. He just won't let it happen. He said, I won't let myself get depressed. There's a story where his son was graduating from high school, and he wanted to be there. He quit school. He quit school when he was 16, and this was big in their family. And he turned to the manager, and he said, I want to go to my son's graduation. And Mr. Torrey said, I can't let you do that. I can't let you do that. And he knew that God had a different plan than the one he wanted. And he didn't go. And he didn't get mad. And he didn't fuss. And he didn't throw things. And he didn't get angry. He said, God, this is where I need to be. I will do what you've called me to do. Amen. There's so many things that you can get disappointed today. So many arguments you can get in today. And you got to stop and say, why? Why am I going to do this? What is it to gain with this argument? Lord, help me get through this. Show me a way that I can get through this that both people can be victorious. What a beautiful thing that would be. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, it just moved me. Notice that the Bible, and I'll say it again, devotes little time describing eternity than it does showing us the way to eternal life. Everything about this Bible is to our eternal life. Can you say that with me? Eternal life. Amen? That is what we're doing. We were at a funeral yesterday for somebody that we know and love that's been in this church. And all I talked about was where she went. Eternity. Amen? The beautiful things of eternity. And God is saying to you, you can't understand how beautiful it is because you don't trust me enough here with the little things. The beauty, the peace, the joy, our lives with God simply cannot be explained. We cannot grasp the concept of paradise, including the fact that it is a free gift from God. What is it? Free. From who?
God.
With, hallelujah. For hearts that accept the love of Jesus. Revelation, this is Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To whom overcomes, I will give to him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To paradise. Can anybody even understand, Deacon Gary, what paradise is? Are you kidding me? We can't even comprehend, Miss Mary, paradise. It is such, I'm going to read a little so you can all see what it's talking about here. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Revelation. And we very seldom I read out of Revelation, and that's just a personal thought that I have and a prayer that I have that I hope God helps me with. But the book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible, Miss Dale. And it's the one that hasn't happened yet. A lot of it, so most of Revelation is a lot of people's opinions about when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. And you know what actually causes, and I've read this and studied this part of it, Revelation actually causes division in churches. You know why? Because all of a sudden you get division of thought and you forget to focus on Jesus. You get people with a different idea and all of a sudden you got people separated in your own church. Hallelujah. This is John speaking. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And God is telling him, God the Father, who?
God.
The Father. And for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Hallelujah. And he will dwell with them. God will dwell with us, and they shall be his people. We will be what? His people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God, listen to this, brothers and sisters. Listen to this. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How many tears? There shall be no more death. How many deaths? No sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. How much pain? The former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen? That's eternity. That's with God on the new earth. It might not be the way this earth is, because he said he's going to wipe the old earth away. Amen? He's going to wipe it away. So whatever how he does it, he said there's not going to be a seas, and there's not going to be any distinction, but because it's going to be paradise. Say that with me. Paradise. Can you even begin to see it? See how beautiful this is? You say, well, is there anything in the Bible, Pastor, that sort of says it? And yes, there is. Hallelujah. And I love this. This is in the book of Isaiah. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. This is so good. I love this. Just a little glimpse of paradise. Are you ready? Brother Jerry, hallelujah. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The lion shall lay down with the lamb. How beautiful is that? And doesn't that tell you something else that people worry about? People worry about the strangest things with God. Well, I had a pet. Is my pet going to be there? Is my dog going to be there? And I heard a pastor the other day say, no, your pets and dogs won't be in heaven with you because they don't have a spirit. So why do you say that? How do you know that? How do you know? I would never tell you. I would just say, of course, if God gets it, it's paradise. It's going to be beautiful. I know one thing. I know lions and lambs are going to be there, amen? And there's going to be snakes there, amen? And there's going to be ox there, and there's going to be sheep there. So I'm assuming that there's going to be dogs and cats too, amen? It's going to be paradise, amen? This is whose God? Your God, the one that you love so much every day, the one that has so many plans for today along with the beauty of tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. This is so cool. Okay, Sergio, here we go. But somebody will say to you, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? You see, that's a doubter. That's somebody trying to test you, see? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. How many that farm know that and understand that? What you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. When you're planting corn, do you plant a corn cob in the ground? When you're planting tomatoes, do you plant a tomato in the ground? When you're planting a tree, do you plant the tree in the ground or just a seed? Amen? It's not what comes up. What you sow, you do not sow that body that will be, but mere grain. And he says this, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. We were born in corruption and were raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. We know that we're weak. We know our flesh is weak, but it's raised in power. Amen? It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. There is what? There is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. However, say that. However, that stops you. However, and this is it, the spiritual is not first, Sergio, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Pretty much puts it in a nutshell, amen? We can't even conceive how beautiful paradise is. People worry about the strangest things about, well, will I see my loved ones? How would it be paradise if you didn't see your loved ones? How would it be paradise if things that you loved here are not there, that you can't share those loves? Amen? But it's so beyond our own imagination. Because who are we talking about here? We're talking about God, our Father, where? Who created all this. Are you with me?
Yes.
He created all this, and he has a plan for the next step. So I tell you, to start believing today. Fred, you got a dream. I want you to, on Monday, to be so fired up about it that you can't put it down until it happens. You, Deacon Chuck, you said something to me. You got the stuff you wanted to start making. You're a little bit of the hobby that you had that you thought could bless you in Maryland. I'm telling you, it'll bless you in Maryland far beyond what you thought if you just give it to him. Say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my part starting right now. I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to start, and God will. Because if you don't start, what can he bless? Amen? If I said to myself, or Greg said when he was a young man, probably seven the way he plays, I want to play guitar, but he never picked up a guitar. How good of a guitar player would he be today? See, he had to take the first. And sometimes, you guys, it doesn't matter if you're 6 or 70, if you got a dream, you got to take the first step. We have a friend of ours who's 70 years old, became the first selectman of Woodbury, Connecticut. 70. And he said, I want to do this. And he did it. And he had a dream. And he wasn't going to, if he didn't win, at least he tried. Amen? At least he put it out there. And whatever happened, he was ahead of where he was before he tried. Are you with me?
Yes.
You've got to let this go. You got to let up here go, all the doubts, all the things. You got to let go of what you think you know. You got to let go of what people teach you that isn't in the Bible. You got to let go of laws and rules and regulations and say, I'm tired of that. I just need God. I need Jesus in my life. Amen?
Amen.
Do you know they did a 10-year study about depression? I just read that too. I mean, I read more stuff now than I don't read the newspapers, and my wife will tell you, I don't even watch the news anymore. I watch about 3 minutes of that, and I'm done. I can't hear anymore. Two guys arguing with each other. But I did a 10-year thing on depression. You know what they found out? Nothing works. They said this medication doesn't change your depression. It just slows you down, so you deal with it. And I kept waiting to see where God. And finally, one person said, you know, God saved me from my depression. He made me realize, first of all, that I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. He's with me. So if he's with me, I got to start now. See, I got a beginning. I'm going to take a walk with him. We all get depressed, amen? Some people have it worse than others. I understand. And whatever anxiety you have, I understand that. But the first thing you have to know is God is right there. Right there. holding your hand, walking with you. Come on. Come on. Let's do something together. Let's build something. Let's start something. Let's make something. What's in your heart? You got something you want to do? Let's start working on that. I know you got all that. But let me walk with you. Let me help you. Let me give you a dream. Don't be afraid of what we can do together. Look forward and grab onto what we can do together. Amen? That's your God. That's your God. How many want that? I want that. Give him praise and glory then. Give him praise and tell him I'm going to take it in Jesus' name. You want to play an anthem? Ah, you see, you know what the Bible says? Greg, it says be ready in and out of season in the Bible. It means always be ready to give a word.
Welcome to my world.
I'm just saying.
Greg.
No, that's okay. We got some of the most beautiful compliments from our church last Sunday. Amen. We need to make this church shine, brothers and sisters. People are coming. People are coming to your church. Give it praise. Well, we're going to try more. Trust you more to just get out there. Just get out there and run that race with you. Run that race and just put our trust in you and our hearts in you. Our prayers to you, Lord. We're just going to give them to you. And the desires you put in our heart, we're going to go for them. And the dreams, Lord, we want you to help us get them. But God's answers will be greater than your desire. His answers will be greater than your thoughts even now, because you can't conceive how great a thought he has for you. The things he has planned for you will be even greater than the things you think you want. If you're following him, he will raise you. Humble yourself and let him raise you. What a beautiful day. Give him praise. Bring him praise and glory.